Vote your mind. Mind your leader. Bottom line.
Thank you. It's 503-733-2970.
We got the Jim Roop coming up here in just a few.
Guy wants to talk about taming the badger.
I swear to God, that's what it says.
In the meantime, though, the real reason you were here today, ladies and gentlemen, he's from the Ministry of Truth. He is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A car crashes into a tigered house. I know they all look alike, but apparently this crash into a house happened at 12512 Southwest Guard Street.
Everybody go by and gawk now. Block traffic. Do it.
Happened at 1220, so this is fresh damage. Nobody was hurt. The driver also crashed your vehicle into a building last May.
You know, this is exactly one of those stories that, where I was, just as I was making fun of it, I was waiting for you to go, a truckload of children were killed.
No.
All right, thank you. Thank God.
Tiger so, children all in school where they belong, getting an education, so they don't end up in Iraq.
Not smashing windows like hooligans.
Mm-hmm.
God. All right.
We have an even further apology from John Kerry.
Oh, is this Bank One?
We're not getting to that yet.
Okay.
But it's coming up.
All right.
As a combat veteran, I want to make it clear to ones, my poorly stated joke at a rally was not about and was never intended to refer to any troop. I sincerely regret that my words are misinterpreted. How is that possible?
My head looks as though it's carved out of dirt.
To wrongly imply anything negative about those in uniform.
Well, this is the most torturous.
And I want to personally apologize to any service member, family member, or American who was offended. It is clear the Republican Party would like to talk about anything but their failed security policy.
You're sure he's not leaving anybody out?
I don't want my verbal slip to be a diversion from the real issues.
Yeah.
I want to continue to fight. Fight for change, of course. To provide real security for our country and a winning strategy for our troops. The end.
Ah, okay.
You're going back to watch my soap operas?
Seriously. He forgot the part. I wish to apologize to all carbon-based life forms throughout the galaxy. Good God Almighty. All right.
Let's talk about the man with amnesia, shall we?
Shall we?
Yes.
The amnesia man talks. Jeff Ingram now back with his loving fiancée in Olympia, Washington, and says his intuition tells him he's in the right place and where he's right at home.
That's got to feel good.
For me, I go through my intuition because I don't have any memories coming back.
My mantortion?
And me being here, I know I'm in the right place. Here is home. Home is with her.
Home on the
right. I am you. You are we. Goo goo ga-choo.
Sadly, Ingram states he still has no memory.
I don't remember
why I married this woman.
We've done together or anything, but I'm sure that
I must have had a good reason.
That will come back in time.
Maybe she was funny.
A comment from the brave wife?
Give me a kiss, says Beyonce Penny Hansen. It's comforting to know how safe you are.
It was a relief to know that there's 4 days that we don't know what happened between the 6th and the 10th.
I sent him
and
out for
all
smokes.
Of the other time that he was safe and being cared for in Denver.
Now,
what is that? Nothing. All right.
Well, Ingram says his type of amnesia is rare, and he and his doctor are doing the best they can to learn more about it.
For us, it's a learning thing, and even for the doctors, it's a learning process.
Okay. By the way, Bob called to say that cows cannot walk downstairs.
So all cows live on the first floor? Is that what we're being told?
I have to take the elevator. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent, James Roop. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. What's up in your world?
Just trying to get this cow downstairs.
Sir, you don't even want to know the amount of... Well, you were here yesterday. Oh, I promised no cow talk, didn't I?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It's too late. I've already blown it. People just calling with random cow facts here. But have you seen this story? Tim Riley just handed this to me. Have you seen this interview with Courtney Love?
No.
Courtney Love, fill in the blank here. Finish this sentence. Courtney Love, who has been sober for 15 months, says blank helped her on the road to recovery. It's the name of a celebrity.
Jesus.
No. Well, no, but you're close, though.
Paris Hilton.
No. Male. Let me ask you this. Who seems like the least well-grounded male celebrity currently living in Hollywood?
That'd be Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Really?
Says Mel Gibson helped her on the road to recovery. Love, the former leader of the band Hole and the widow of Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain, said Gibson had showed up at a Beverly Hills, California hotel room while she was doing drugs with several men. Well, why would he just... That's weird. How is it that you would just show up at Courtney Love's hotel room while she was inside getting it on? Or,
oh,
I'm sorry.
I didn't get an invite for that.
No, that's... I mean, that's one of those... Your presence is honorably requested at a flop house where I will be ingesting blow and where guys will be snorting cocaine off my breasts. Please to RSVP, black tie. Mel kept coming to the door with his cheesy grin saying, hi. And then they left... And then they left to have a cheeseburger. This story doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Well, whatever.
That must be from Pravda.
Seriously. Let's forget I read this. All right.
What's Mel Gibson's wife doing while he's having cheeseburgers with the lady from Hole?
The lady from Hole. Is that like the man from Uncle?
I think so.
Man from Uncle was a joke that aired many years ago on the...
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you. Anyway, let's stop now. So yesterday we talked about Bob Barker, but now we're going to talk about it and we're going to pretend that it's a brand new story and that it's the first time hearing of it. I understand that Bob Barker's retiring.
Isn't that so?
Oh, I'm stunned, Jim Roop.
We knew this day was going to come, we just didn't want it to. And he's going to be 83 in December, so he says he would like to retire while he's young.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Here's the thing I can never remember about Bob Barker. Is it that he was just groping one of those chicks or that he had an affair with one of them?
It's sexual harassment, they were claiming.
But I mean, so sexual harassment, but I mean, was it sexual harassment in the sense that he was actually getting it on with her, or was it just a whole lot of like...
It was a whole lot of groping and touching and inappropriate behavior.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So, that just seems like... Look, I'm not suggesting that people should treat coworkers this way. I'm just saying, if it seems like you're going to get tagged for sexual harassment anyway, why don't you just close the deal while you're at it? Get a little something out of that, you know what I mean?
Well, don't know that he could, man.
Well,
they may have tried.
No, that medical technology. Well, that is true. This is like 20 years ago, so who knows? Maybe he was not in the game, as they say. Because it was the blonde one, right? It was the hot. In fact, Sarah's got her picture up on the screen right now, I swear to God.
Who
is it? Isn't that Kathy? What's her name?
No, it's Courtney Love.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I swear to God, Sarah's got a picture of Courtney Love on the screen, and from this distance, it looks just like that Kathy chick from The Price is Right.
Oh, there you go.
You know, my favorite, though, on The Price is Right was Holly, the redhead.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, man, every guy... See, what? Okay, Jim Roop, you're a man, I'm a man. Here we are, all alone. with only our own needs to attend to. No, what is it about... How do I put this?
About that particular woman?
Well, it's not just that. It's like, okay, what am I trying to say? It's like the Ginger Marianne thing. Okay,
yeah.
Now they're both, conventionally speaking, they're both attractive women. Yet every guy, period, prefers Marianne to Ginger.
Well, there are several reasons.
Okay, you've thought about this. Because, no, you didn't have to hesitate. You have the answer. What is it?
Well, first of all, personality. Secondly, as the girl next door type, you think you have a shot. With those glamorous Hollywood types, you know you don't have a shot. At least I don't, anyway.
Maybe. I'm in the same boat. Yeah,
it's the same thing with Holly. Holly was, she's a cutie.
Because every guy I know who had a favorite Price is Right girl, it was Holly. It was always Holly. And I'm not especially partial to redheads. So it's just very, so maybe that's what
it is. I just love the way she'd point at a Porsche.
I like the way that she'd stroke a cube of Velveeta.
Oh, I'm saying.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that I really think about. Well, what's Bob Barker going to be doing now? What do you do when you're Bob Barker? I mean, where can you really go after
this?
Well,
he says he's going to lay around and be bored for a couple of weeks.
Fantastic.
At least find out what it's like. And then, you know, he's this big animal rights guy, and he has this animal rights organization he wants to spend more time with. He even says he'd do a movie role if one comes along, but he refuses to do nude scenes.
I swear to God, that's in the actual story, too, where he says that. No nude scenes for Bob Barker.
Yeah, won't do it.
Can you do his little quote at the end of the show?
The one about be good to animals or something? No,
be sure to have your pet spayed or neutered. This is Bob Barker. Oh, no, it's not Good Day. That's Paul Harvey. Good day. In my head, like, once you reach a certain age, they all drift together into one big pile of old guys. You know what I mean? Bob Barker has some sign of, though. Be sure to have your pet spayed and neutered. This is Bob Barker saying, maybe it's just goodbye. Well, whatever. You know,
when you get real close to him, though, I mean, he looks...
He stinks of death.
...all of 82, man.
Oh, really?
Oh, he looks every moment of it. He's got more makeup on. I mean, his face is probably 2 inches flatter than it is on television. He's got so much makeup on.
That's genius. And he looks really, I mean, I'll be honest. The Price is Right is largely for housewives and stoned college kids. So it's been many years since I've watched it. But I got to tell you, when I saw that press photo of him when the story first broke yesterday, he looked so old, I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah.
I really didn't. So have you been closer? Would you say that Bob Barker has any discernible scent to him or smell? And if so, what does Bob Barker smell of?
Brute.
Really? Brute?
That's what it smelled like to me.
That's pretty good. Kind of like more of a 50s man's man or like a 70s?
Yeah, you know, like he hasn't changed his aftershave brand for a while.
Well, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what they ought to cast Bob Barker as? I'm telling you this right now. You come into contact with Hollywood Players and Power Brokers Jim Roop. First of all, from now on, whenever you are close enough to a celebrity to be able to tell what they smell like, I'm going to ask you that. That's going to be a thing we ask on this show. What do celebrities smell like?
You know what? That's not a bad story to do.
What? What do celebrities smell like?
Yeah, celebrity smell.
Wouldn't you be curious to know what celebrities smell like? I know Sarah would. Sarah, what do you
it's
think?
True.
What do you think Courtney Love smells like up close?
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes and anything else?
Cigarettes and bourbon.
I think
bourbon, some kind of powdery smell.
And I was thinking like a mouthwash over it, as though she's trying to hide the other two.
I don't think she tries to hide a damn thing.
Yeah.
I really don't, man.
Scotty just says she smells like mouthwash and skank. Okay, that is really funny. Okay, so hold on. I'm copywriting that.
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
That right there, the what do celebrities smell like? We're taking, that's us. We're calling that out right now.
You know, we'll do that a lot during award season.
Totally, yeah, because you're going to be on the red carpet.
Yeah.
I bet Charlize Theron smells of daisies and wide-open fields of gold.
Lavender.
Oh, really?
She smelled of lavender last time I was near her.
This sounds really creepy, but really, she did? She smells of lavender.
Well, that last time I was near.
Boy, you know.
That was the Golden Globes last year.
I would bet.
I won't forget that smell.
Does she look perfect?
Yes.
See, that's what I mean. I knew it. Up close, she's just flawless.
She and Eva Longoria, believe it or not, they're the ones when you look at it and you go.
And then you're alternately excited and you just like want to kill yourself.
And you don't know what to say next.
Yeah, because you just kind of go.
Hamana.
Oh, Scotty. Okay, you know what it is? That is your, right there.
Oh, don't go.
No, that's what it is. We've already taken it. Two more things. Pass this along to a power broker. Here's what Bob Barker's movie role needs to be. Because you were talking about him smelling like Brute, 50s kind of guy. Here's the thing. You put him in a fedora, a suit, he's a crime lord. Like, kind of a cool one, though. Like, a sophisticated, he's sort of a mafia, not an Italian as such, but I mean, he's sort of a, you know, he's like a Don, kind of.
Okay,
Can you see that? You see Bob Barker?
Yeah,
and
I see
not,
that.
And don't play it for laughs. Like, don't play it totally straight, where he's like some, you know, some...
He's the guy you go to in the back of the room there.
Yeah, he's the guy behind the guy.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. And finally... and here's the third thing is, you'll never get the chance to do this because you know now he's going to be dead in like a month.
What would make you say that?
Because that's the thing is when he says, because it's like every like 2 days to retirement here, you know, or when the guy in the war movie is like, here's a picture of my girl back home, I can't wait to see her, bam, dead.
Yeah, his head gets blown off.
Bob Barker's going to be like, well, I'm going to retire and I'm going to spend a couple weeks doing nothing and then, I have lots of projects for charity that... Gone, dead.
Bob hasn't answered his phone in 2 weeks. Let's go check him out.
Let's see. If we can guess the number of days he's going to live without going over, I'll also win a Cuisinart. No, because that's the thing is when those guys, it's like the Johnny Carson, Johnny Cash thing. When they give up the thing that they lived for, which clearly was this show.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's why all those guys retire and then they're dead like a day later.
Yeah, well, his wife's already dead, you know.
Yeah, there you go. So what's he living for now? I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm saying that seems to be the way it goes. When your beloved passes away and then your career goes away,
When you wake up that first morning going, I don't have anywhere to go.
Seriously, that's the thing is especially, and I'm not saying it's, you know, it's like the most glamorous job on television, but I mean, you get used to being on TV every single day, and then suddenly you're sitting there in your own filth at home wondering who's going to clean your teeth. I mean, it's...
You know something he's very proud of, believe it or not, is in all his years on both Truth or Consequences and The Price is Right, he claims they've never had to edit anything out from any contestant in what they've said.
Okay, well, here's... Okay, he may be fibbing a little bit there, because I will tell you this. They may not have had to edit anything out that a contestant has said, but there has been at least one, and I've seen it. This is not like a butt bob kind of an urban legend sort of thing that they try to find for years. I've seen this on YouTube, where a woman is jumping up and down excitedly, having one like a toaster or some crap, and... Her bosoms come right out of her tank top.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. They probably left it in.
Hmm. I'll search for that clip.
Ah, bet they smell of lavender. There we go. That's a little callback right there.
This show, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
All right. I'll tell you what. We're gonna look for that. I'll pass it along to you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
Dot the there he goes. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. We just talked about Bob Barker for like 20 minutes there. Gold. Hey, where did Tim go?
You're gonna run out of breath. You're running out of breath.
Was I supposed to be here?
What?
I was wondering if I was supposed to be here.
We were talking about what Bob Barker smells like.
I was listening, yes.
All right. Okay. Here's Tim Riley. All right.
It is heaven.
Are you making the
I can make the grudge noise.
Don't make the grudge noise.
Ah! Ooh, ooh,
ooh. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for Democracy on the Mars.
Democracy on the Mars.
Homeland Security contracts are going out for a vast new network of detention camps, a Halliburton subsidiary.
Did I say death camps? I meant happy camps.
This is where people work to be happy. The Halliburton subsidiary has just received a $385 million contract from the Department of Homeland Security to provide, quote, temporary detention and processing capabilities, end quote.
For who?
The contract announced by the engineering construction firm KBR calls for preparing for an emergency influx of immigrants or to support a rapid deployment of new programs.
This isn't creepy.
In the event of other emergencies such as a natural disaster, the release offered no details about where Halliburton would build these new facilities and when.
So this is how much? How much is that being
good? $385 billion.
To build a secret, to build a series of detention facilities.
For people who are naughty.
For an emergency influx of immigrants or other people who need to be detained somewhere.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
So that's that.
There you go. There's your democracy on the march. It's 1900.
Attention, Tim Riley. Why, that's me. Today is World Vegan Day.
Oh, yeah, I pulled that straight for you this morning.
The 1st of November is World Vegan Day, and vegans everywhere plan to show the world that consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs are killing our planet. The Vegan Society has just produced a 16-page environmental booklet entitled Eating the Earth, unquote. The booklet provides well-referenced facts and figures which remove any doubt about the environmental benefits of a vegan diet. For example... Did you know that humans use much less land and water if they eat crops directly rather than through intermediary or that of an animal? This is because farmed animals consume much more protein than they produce. Most of the protein from their vegetable feeds is used for the animal's bodily functions, and that can't be converted to meat, eggs, or milk. More water and land is therefore needed to grow crops for farmed animals to eat, leading to deforestation, water scarcity, soil erosion, and increased pesticide use.
The phrase can be converted to meat is kind of strange, actually.
That's what animals are used for.
I suppose. You've heard my whole thing about how we're made of food, though. That's a weird thought.
Okay, don't talk about that.
No, but you know.
I know, that's just wrong.
But it's not wrong. It's real. It's true. You are made out of cottage cheese and, Slim Jims or whatever. It's true. What did you have today? Salad? Is that what you've eaten today? You are made out of lettuce.
I have a bagel.
Made out of lettuce and bagel. Bits. That's what you smell like. Let's see, good friend Dante. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing today?
What's up, brother?
Thanks for taking the call. I had a brilliant idea about a radio show promo that involves a trebuchet, which I have access to, a cement mixer, and bowling balls.
And the CBS legal department, from the sound of it.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes, legal department. But you set the concrete truck out a few yards out. You put the bowling balls into the trebuchet, and a prize goes to the person that can sink it. Not only a great contest, but... Can you imagine the sound that's going to make when those bowling balls start hitting that cement mixer?
I don't understand. So this is—it's not a dump truck, but a cement truck.
Right, a cement truck, because they've got that like a bin on the back of them. This giant scoop that they pour the cement into. So you'd be able to catch the bowling balls in that. And I'm thinking the sound is just going to be incredible.
It's got different conclusions you can jump to. Dennis actually had the idea of just putting a car into that thing and just firing up. Like, taking a car. No, it's a great idea. Take a car.
And a cement mixer. That's great. I like it.
One car into another car, maybe. But you fill the car with, like, red paint and then outfit it with a series of wireless cameras. And then you just shoot it, like, 1,000 feet into the air.
Sheer genius.
Yes, it is. All right, thank you, sir. There you go. That's it, Dante. Let's move on. Here's Tim Riley.
On TV tonight is Super Obese, immediately followed by the Half-Ton Man.
The Half-Ton Man. Okay. I don't even know what it's about. It's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Walter Hudson?
It doesn't say.
Okay, Walter Hudson, who's that guy in New York at the Braided, and he ate a loaf of bread every morning, and then he so forth. Yeah.
Let's go to Florida now, shall we?
Shall we?
For glitches in early voting.
Oh, I hate you with everything
you're so
in me.
Slow.
Oh, fine.
After a week of early voting, a handful of glitches with electronic voting machines has drawn the ire of voters, reassurances from election supervisors, and a caution against the careless casting of ballots. Several South Florida voters say the choices they touched on the electronic screens were not the ones that appeared in the review process.
Man,
the final step on voting.
I read some news story the other day where they showed a woman, and I don't know if it's true or not, but she's an old woman. She seemed like she had much motive to lie. She's like, I pressed Democrat 3 times and it kept registering Republicans. And she started to cry.
Like any of this matters.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Your vote means nothing.
No.
Useless.
Mm-mm.
Pointless.
Yep.
Attention, children.
Mm-hmm.
Don't vote.
You're just a speck in the global village.
Seriously. They're laughing at you. Every time you vote, God kills a puppy.
Don't do it.
No, it's true. Speaking of which, though, as a side note, did you bring... Who was it that had the ballot initiative thing? Was it you?
I gave it to you the other day.
Really?
It's in your stack.
No, it was Smokey. Smokey. That's who talked to us this morning. Smokey.
I talked to you even before that.
It is true. And then Smokey approached us this morning, and he came up to me and he's like, do you have a vote? And I said, no. And he's like, I just, someone tell me what to fill out on this thing. And then Sarah sort of, you echoed that comment.
Totally, because it takes forever to go through the paperwork. It is true, you know, we are lazy Americans.
How many things are there to vote on?
And there's so many initiatives. I don't want to vote for the wrong thing, and I don't want to not vote.
You don't have to vote for everything, though, Tim, right? You can just vote for some of them.
Yeah.
I just vote for the things that are sexy.
Yeah, but what if I'm skipping over the thing that's like put parking meters on Hawthorne? And I don't know.
Is that on there?
That,
not on mine.
No, you tried to... Somebody had brought it to the table. And,
some bastard.
Yeah, but all the Hawthorne small businesses
his.
Actually fought it off.
All right. Okay, well...
With sticks.
Well... We just start tagging every story with that, with chopsticks. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time for a geek watch.
With a sharp stick.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to
just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... So just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Well, she's been heralded for years as the most downloaded person on the internet, which means, aw, heck. You know what that means. People love looking at Cindy Margolis. What's...
That was the weirdest thing.
I don't understand.
Let me go back and read it again. for those who are only half listening. She's been heralded for years as the most downloaded person on the internet, which means, oh, heck, you know what that means. People love looking at Cindy Margolis.
Oh, yeah. She's like 100 years old. She's the most downloaded woman in spot. She's some housefrau who just announced a couple years ago that she was like the most. The internet, man.
Is she
she's
an actress?
40.
No, she's just some chick with big cans. That's all she is.
She says she's 40, but her birth certificate says.
Like 70, yeah.
Yeah. Which would make her 41.
No, she's older.
She's titillating fans since she's been an undergraduate from Cal State Northridge with her own line of greeting cards and has posed au naturel for Playboy.
Well, here's the thing. Here's Cindy Margolis. Guys know who she is. Cindy Margolis is this woman. She's like one of those. She's sort of like a 10 years ago version of one of those girls who's a MySpace celebrity. Have you read any of those articles in Rolling Stone about those girls who...
She looks like a housewife dressed up in her teenage daughter's clothes.
That's really, yeah, check out this photo. It's another one of the,
people
sometimes think that we're sisters. She totally has that kind of thing. But there was, in this month's, I don't mean to get sidetracked, but in this month's Rolling Stone, there's an article about some chick in Los Angeles, some girl who's become a huge MySpace celebrity. Literally has done nothing else. Not an actress, not a singer, not a whatever. She's some chick.
She's
like some, her name is Tequila.
Tequila, yeah.
Sunita Tequila or whatever.
Sunrise.
Yeah, no, but it's some chick. I mean, it's just...
A little teeny, like, Asian girl?
Yeah, she's like some girl. And it's like now, but she's got, like, a talk show that's going to be coming out and, like, a line of, you know, underwear or whatever. And it's like she's literally just some chick who put up a bunch of revealing photographs of herself on MySpace for guys to salivate to, and that's it. Cindy Margolis is, like, the 10 years ago version of her. Cindy Margolis, in the early days of the internet... put up a bunch of scantily clad photos of her, and her shtick was that she was never nude. It was just sort of like tasteful but hot. And there was like some net ranking thing, like back in the days when there were only 5 websites to choose from, you know, and like 4 Star Trek sites and hers. And they said, oh, you're the most downloaded picture on the net, which they said again like 15 years ago when there was like no competition for it. And she has, and out of that tiny little acorn of insignificance, she has created this entire industry around herself. So that's the thing, is like the big deal is that she's finally going to be showing off her whatever. She's going to be nude in Playboy, but it's like so far beyond the time when anybody cares. Everybody has just sort of moved on, so...
I have more of a geek watch. Well, 2 more.
Now, then we're like, so we are knee-deep in geek watches. Yeah.
And it's 3 for Wednesday.
With a stick.
Blizzard Entertainment confirmed today that it is pushing back its release date for World of Warcraft, The Burning Crusade, until January 2007, a few weeks later than previously expected. While the news may disappoint World of Warcraft enthusiasts, Blizzard President Mike Moran said in a statement, finishing touches are all in this new content, and a polished end will be the result.
Polished end? Really?
All right.
Fantastic.
And wow, WOW, that means something to somebody. You assume the role of hero in one of several different in-game races, loosely aligned as either the Horde or the Alliance. Are we all following this? You can choose some different character classes, such as warrior, priest, shaman, or more. Then you...
We need to hear every word of this.
Then you go on quest to get experience and retrieve special items and money, which you can use to improve your equipment by purchasing from in-game vendors.
Yes, go on.
I'm exhausted. For me. The Burn Crusade is an entirely new expansion pack for the original game that gives players access to 2 new playable races. I'm sincerely sorry to all the Iraqi veterans.
Why did you even
read this? Because it's genius.
The last remaining fragment of the homeward the mighty Oars hail from. I have one more about these popular games.
Oh,
should
my
anybody
God.
Care to hear?
Just side note, attention Gustav on that story. And also, you know who else I found out is a huge World of Warcraft, which is a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. You know who else plays that? It's the spouse of someone we know. And it's the spouse of someone who comes on the show.
And it's his wife?
It's not. No.
Oh,
actually,
so it's Scott's wife.
It is Scott's wife, which I wouldn't have guessed, though. Because she seems less geeky than him.
She's married to Scott. Come on.
Well, that is true. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, and she's, you know, she's all hot and whatnot. And so, therefore, I just assumed. But... at the reception at Aaron's wedding, it was the hottest thing, actually. There was like, remember that Becca girl that Clyde Clyde basically gave a bunch of money to. Remember that Becca girl that Clyde basically gave $50 to who got nothing in return? Her friend, Catherine, I just was listening in as Catherine and Scott's wife, Maxine, were having this like long conversation about World of Warcraft. And I swear to God, at one point, I think I heard the first, and she wasn't, like, I don't think she knew I was listening in. So it was like two hot blonde chicks talking about playing World of Warcraft, and at one point, I think I actually heard her use the phrase, sometimes I just sit around in my underwear all day playing World of Warcraft, which is so great. It was like one of those Lieberman, it's like you immediately wanted the ability to just sort of capture that and keep that soundbite for all eternity. I sound horny and pathetic, don't I? Do we have one more, Tim?
I believe so,
and then
yes.
We'll break. Mm-hmm. All right.
Dateline Detroit. On October 27, 2004, James Flemons walked into work with a homemade samurai sword and slashed his coworker to death.
Oh.
He was angry because of the constant bullying by the victim, Anthony Williams, and other coworkers at the Peerless Metal Powders and Abrasive Company. But his lawyer says he's a schizophrenic with a psychotic obsession with fantasy role-playing games, including Dungeons & Dragons.
Bam!
Apparently, he arrived at his job the day of the killing, armed with a homemade 38-inch samurai sword. Witnesses told police that Flemons appeared to hand Williams a piece of metal in a chivalrous manner, as he was challenging him to a duel before chasing him and stabbing him to death.
That's genius.
Williams died as a result of multiple chop wounds to the neck.
Oh,
witnesses told
that's
police,
a bad way to gross. Go. Multiple chop wounds.
It's not a child, it's an adult.
Oh,
witnesses
well,
told
care.
Police that after the killing, Flemons brought a beer and a cigar to a nearby convenience store, apparently to celebrate. Then he returned to the scene and positioned Williams' body as if it were on a cross.
And this is somebody he played Dungeons and Dragons with?
Then he opened the beer and
harassed him at work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. In a voluntary statement to police, Flemons admitted attacking Williams in response to constant bullying about his fantasy game obsession.
All right. Wait.
And then he positioned him into a cross?
Yes.
Let's see. You receive...
arms outstretched, Bird.
20 to life. I'm sorry. That joke would have been a lot funnier if I had an actual die. That's a whole lot of, like... Jury recommends death. Nah, see, it's fine. It's,
oh, boy.
That was kind of funny.
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
My grandfather's hammer.
We'll be back.
By the Sons of Warband. I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
It's 503-733-2970. Oh, I meant to play to come back with the... let me just play a little bit of this. Do you have my computer up here? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the...
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you.
My Chemical Romance.
You're not playing the best song. I'm dying to hear Welcome to the Black Parade.
I don't have it.
I know. I'll bring it tomorrow.
So watch all the
this is great. It's got a cool T-Rex vibe to it.
Because the drugs never work. They're gonna give you a smirk. Cause they got methods of keeping you clean. They're gonna rip up your head. Your operations to spread. Another cog in the murder machine. They said awful names at the stick, you're never gonna fit.
right, there you go. That's My Chemical Romance from the new CD, The Black Parade, which is really good, by the way. And we were kind of dogging out the other day talking about how much it sounds like The Wall, and it does. I mean, this big... But it's not just that. I mean, there's like the things that remind me of The Wall. There's a lot of things that remind me of Night at the Opera by Queen. That sounds a whole lot like T-Rex, sort of via Cigarettes and Alcohol by Oasis. So anyway, so that's do try to catch it. In fact, I don't think we're talking about CD Game Exchange today, but I will tell you that CD Game Exchange that just it just came out and it's selling really well. So I know they have it there. Let's talk to we're so behind here. We have to do a couple things here and then we pretty much got to break again. Like is coming up at 3. Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11, Stephanie Miller tomorrow 6 to 10, Kramer 10 to 11, and we're back at 11. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be back on the air. We'll be here from the studio. It doesn't matter. It's only going to sound the same to you probably. But we're going to be back at the studios of Moving 107.5.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let's hope. I say as I press a button over there and everything explodes. Lycus will be on tomorrow. He'll be in the studio with us tomorrow too. So you got questions, comments, observations, you want to talk personal? Oh, you want to talk to Tom. If you want to talk to Tom tomorrow, he'll be in the studio with us in the 2 o'clock hour, and then Friday he will be live at Barracuda downtown. And people ask if they have to get tickets or they have to, you know, where do I go to sign up? You don't have to do anything. Just no tickets, no no list you have to be on. Just have your ID, be 21. No drink minimum, just be there. Just come on down, be there. Wear something slutty. Let's see, what are we doing here? Let's get to Steve, and then we'll do a thing, and then another thing. Steve, hello, sir.
Hi, I'm just a long-time listener from the old 1080 days with Christina.
Christina, God bless you, sir.
Yes, I wanted to let you know I was watching Jimmy Kimmel last night, and there was a guy on there who was dressed as Stevie Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yeah, it was a large black man who was wearing gold sparkly panties and had a big pink, big rope.
Who was it?
That's
you know?
Awesome.
I don't know, but I just thought that they had, you know, maybe some writer of their show had been listening to your show or something because he had a whole sequence of people doing the mixed stars coming out.
It's one of those.
There was a really good one though. That was a little midget guy playing Colin Powell. It was semi-Colin Powell.
Okay, that's pretty funny. Was it Anthony Anderson by any chance? You know, that's who it was.
The person who was dressed like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they were. I didn't recognize them. I don't think they were famous necessarily.
I think he was on. I think he was
on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I think he was on Kimmel last night or the night before, something like that. Well, all right. Anyway, fantastic. We'll see that Sarah Dillon's a trendsetter. She sets
yes,
trends,
that's right.
Others follow them. Excellent.
That's
Thank you, Steve.
You're spreading the word throughout the world cycle, or what's the word, subliminally, I think.
Well, that's what I do. And Scotty is telling me that I ought to be playing this delivery driver. Scotty, is there a new delivery driver sound effect?
Oh, no.
I'm trying to find out here. Hold on, let me...
let me conceal my enthusiasm. Hold on.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Scotty, is there a new sound effect I'm supposed to be playing for delivery drivers?
No, but you could look either in waves or in the... Scotty J. New.
Scotty J. New sound
effect. I don't know where
did you get a haircut, Scotty J?
I did.
It looks very nice.
I'm trying to copy Rick.
Okay, don't say that.
Yeah.
There you Wonderful. Go, Steve. Hope it was worth it.
All right. Yes, it was great. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Let's get one more. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson program. Hello.
Yeah, Rick, concerning the Hilliburton building detention camps 20
yes.
years ago, Operation, you and your listeners need to Google Operation Garden Plot and Operation Table Splicer. Operation Garden Plot.
You're just making stuff up, aren't you?
Allows.
Operation the Butt Ruby and Operation Ass.
Let the man finish the story.
Pizza.
Joke.
I'm sorry. What are those operations?
You want to hear it or not?
Truthfully, no.
All right.
Thank you, sir. No, just don't care.
Oh, God.
I just don't know. It's not no disrespect to the guy. I just don't care.
He could be a crazy role-playing guy and come and butcher you with a man-made samurai sword.
Totally, where he just rolls the dice. I'm going to cut off your...
He sounded a little angry.
Head.
Mr. Emerson, you lose!
Oh, sorry. Doing. No, it's not no disrespect to the guy. He's just like, do you want to hear it? And it's like, no, I don't. Because A... Tell it to Clyde, and B, I don't need to be convinced that things are going to hell and they're going to put me in a camp and poke me with a stick. I just don't, I know what's going to happen. Okay, let's see, well, should we break here? I've got this, actually. Let me go into the break with this. We'll play this, then we'll go right into the whatever, the bump or the line or whatever the hell it is. Because I've been remiss in playing these. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, from The Onion, it's the weekly radio address from President George W. Bush.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
This is First Lady Laura Bush. I've been doing an awful lot of appearances in public thingamadoodads lately, and lo and behold, they asked me to do the weekly radio address, too. Well, I'm happy to help out, because I think they know that people don't really like my husband, but they like me, because I've got a smile that just pours right through your soul. My big, wide smile and my stone-cold, dead-eyed stare can captivate people and make them love the name Bush again. Be dazzled by my big, scary-faced smile. Listen to the sound of my droning, monotone voice. You will love George W. Bush again. You will love George W. Bush again. You will love the Republican Party. You love Republicans who have sex with children. You love the war in Iraq, and you love torture. And roses. Well, doing the radio address is fun and easy. I wish they'd let me do it every week. But won't you excuse me? I have to go now lock myself in the little girl's crapper and chain smoke 2 packs of cigarettes before my next appearance. God bless you.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
Michael, we're mono, eh? We now enter the saddest part of the...
That was the one thing that bothered me, though, is that they changed his girlfriend.
What do you mean?
Remember how he was in love with the Mexican girl?
What's her name?
She's the actress.
Yeah, what was her name? She was on the telenovela. Blah, blah, blah.
She was one girl, one episode, the next episode.
Oh, I didn't
notice that.
Completely
different girl. Yep.
You're thinking of... I thought you were talking about Anne, because they changed Anne's, too.
Anne?
They changed Anne's?
Didn't you notice that?
No.
They on...
Come on!
Unarrested... I love that guy. On Arrested Development, they changed... Tim's got his sunglasses on.
It's because I put my other ones away.
Are you ready for your close-up?
I am.
All right. Real quickly, though, they changed Anne's. Anne Veal, there was one girl, and then, like, next episode, Anne Veal played by another girl. But, see, I thought it was a joke. I thought they were sort of playing on the fact.
No, somebody got fired.
Well, see, and I thought maybe that it's a gag. Like, they're playing on the fact that they do that, like a Darren and Darren thing. Or they were playing on the fact that Anne is supposedly so plain-looking.
But then they wouldn't have probably done that with Job's girlfriend.
Maybe not. I didn't notice that,
though. Yeah, completely different girl. The first girl was actually a lot prettier, and I thought she did a better job than the girl that they replaced her with.
Now I have to go back and watch it.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We're just not spending enough time talking about Bob Barker, who for the last 35 years has been a member of the CBS family, hosting The Price is Right. He still says he's still not sure about retiring.
Well, I've been going to retire for 10 or 15 years, but every year I change my mind. So we'll see how this one goes.
My morning movement is mostly dust.
Bob says it's a challenge to keep The Price is Right fresh.
I try to have every show, I try to give it its own personality.
My hair is falling out.
I know that we're there day after day, year after year, week after week.
It is not.
But I want people, when they turn on their television sets, to think it looks just like opening day.
Are you my mother?
He says the contestants feel comfortable with him, even though they're meeting him for the first time.
Somebody else say, I've been watching the show ever since I was a little boy. I say, well, you are a loyal friend and true. Now I have people coming to the show with T-shirts on. I'm a loyal friend and true. And then I have some of them, I've said, I'm old and frail. Now, don't hurt me if they look dangerous. I have some of them come up on the stage.
Scotty.
And they're jumping around and all this. Then they'll turn to me and just quietly say, I'm not going to hurt you, Bob.
Oh, we just...
He has to be wary of overenthusiastic contestants.
We have to take out that phrase that I'm old and frail, don't hurt me.
I fear for serious injury. Many times I have them take an oath in contestants' role that you will not lay a hand on Bob Barker. And they take the oath and they come up there and crash into me anyway.
You will not lay a hand on Bob Barker.
He says the audience has a good time lining up every morning outside Television City.
They come to the studio knowing what to expect, the type of show it is, and it's a party. And they start out there in the line. They get to know each other out there in the line. Some of them sing. Some of them, somebody dances or tells jokes. They come in. Our announcer does a splendid warm-up, Rich Fields. And then I come through those doors, and we're going.
Make sure that Aaron can't get in.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, well, Aaron and Jen Aaron and Jen waited outside.
I wonder if they heard those funny jokes. And the dancing?
Well, Tim,
oh, the dancing.
Tim noted that there is a particular kind of Price is Right contestant. Mm-hmm. There is a kind of person that
apple pie and hot chocolate drinking public.
Yeah, from Iowa.
The Midwest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
who aren't aware that people might have a different skin tone than their
that's
own.
That's totally what it is, too.
Aww.
I don't mean to cast aspersions, but I mean the Price is
people
Right.
People who would not dare to cross that white picket fence and ring the doorbell, expecting hospitality Midwest style.
We suddenly just enter a narration and some sort of a, it was a town like any other.
No, that's it for today, Althea.
And Jim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Tim.
Fantastic. Best
literally
newsman
walking
ever.
Out the door.
Literally. And he's gone. That's it. And like that, he's gone.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
I'm going to start miking the door so we can actually hear Tim leaving. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Hey, you know, I think maybe for the next couple of days, you ought to put my opener or my cue on the back burner and just use the chorus from that Black Parade.
Oh, I actually think about you sometimes when I listen to that My Chemical Romance CD, that teenager scare the living ass out of me. I actually do, I swear to God, I actually, the last couple of days, have thought about you while listening to that song.
The scariest thing is, he won't be a teenager until next year.
Oh, have fun with that. Well, I don't mean the name Susan Reynolds, but you know, she's got a daughter who is about to enter her teenage years.
Oh,
and
good
just,
luck, Susan.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
I was a terror.
Yeah, you don't say.
Hide the liquor key well. But she'll find it. It doesn't matter.
I can't even imagine. I cannot even imagine the stress of having a teenager. I really can't. I mean, it's just got to be off the charts. Scotty J., do you have teenagers? Any of your kids teenagers? I don't know. Annie, 12 and 8. Oh, 12. Susan's daughter is 12, I think. All three of you are going to have teenagers at the same time. Boy, it's going to be a life lesson for everybody out there. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, the good news is if you get him this new My Chemical Romance CD, he might just stay in his room talking quietly to himself for a few weeks.
Yes. It's a great CD. We already have that one.
Yeah, of course. There you go. I'll guarantee you that they're his MySpace friend, too.
Yeah, it probably is.
Oh, that's did he block you from seeing his MySpace profile? Is that the thing?
Well, he has one of those profiles that's private.
Oh, I see. And you have to be a friend?
You have to be a friend, and there was some unpleasantness, and he just removed me as a friend.
Aww.
Oh.
So
you know what we should do? Oh, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Okay. I totally get the best idea ever. All right, okay. Well, okay, well, I don't know.
You know, the crazy thing is, you know, the last time we did this with the girl with the ass on Sarah's.
Oh, with the ass. I think it's asp. Yeah, with the ass.
And, you know, we commented on, you know, where they might be found. And all of a sudden, you know, all the listeners started, I'm sure they started flooding her MySpace account.
Yes.
They all went and found it. They're going to go to his site through yours and Sarah's. He's going to have.
Oh, no, we won't put anything
on. No. I've totally not identified him in any way.
No, but they can tell he's a 12-year-old kid with the cut marks on his arm.
Well, unless that is like his, unless that's his actual picture, because really, and I know this sounds creepy, but I have a lot of teenagers, not like hundreds, but I have...
In my basement.
In my crawl space.
We like to have picnics.
My house smells of death and clowns. But it's like there was some girl, and it does actually make you kind of think twice. You're like, now who is this, and how do they find me? And before I blindly say yes, some girls, like some 15-year-old girl, with like a Ramones T-shirt and like whatever, and you know, and it turns out like her dad is a big fan, and then she listened through her dad, and it's actually pretty cool that she had posed with like a Ramones T-shirt and like an AM 970 sticker like visible in the background, like in her room or whatever. So I'm just saying that there's more than a handful. So I don't know that your kid would be that easy to. Plus, I mean, not to brag, but I have many pages of friends. It would take a while to go through them all. So
well, you know what, not that I would look down on any of the listeners becoming his friends, because they'd probably give him life lessons.
Yes, such as always let the Wookiee win.
You got Tim Conway, Lisa Goddard, how to vote. Well, you touched on it. You didn't get the whole how to vote thing out of the way, but.
No, well, I'll do that on Friday, though, because tomorrow we're going to be at the Movin' Studio, but maybe we'll do it Friday.
No. Worst story ever. Dennis Pittenberg, Hick Watch, Democracy on the March. Didn't hear anything about Michael Jackson, though.
No, sadly. And did I lie about that being the worst story ever, or did I tell the truth?
You know, it was bad, but I will go back to that dog. That story about the dog is...
Plain so view hard. Of a daycare center. Bam! That's yeah.
That was the worst story this week.
We'll do like a roundup maybe at the end of the year. We can all get around a campfire.
Oh, no.
We're giving stories to each other. Stories that make the baby Jesus cry. We'll just have a whole segment. All right, brother. Well, we'll talk to you. I have a cunning plan, as Baldrick would say. We'll talk tomorrow. I got a thought.
We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, there you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right, there you go. Don't forget, tomorrow Tom Likas will be in studio with us in the 2 o'clock hour. We're doing our show live from the studios of the new Movement 107.5. What else? Oh, and then...
I'm going to wear something really tight tomorrow.
Fantastic. Think of that one outfit you called the Boy Killer outfit. Remember that? I remember you having an outfit you called that. You're like, this is my Boy Killer outfit.
I don't know.
Which
I'll find
fantastic.
It.
And then Friday, Tom Likas live from Barracuda, brought to you by, among other folks, Taboo Adult Video, Wild Turkey, and Team Quest Mix, Martial Arts and Fitness. Rick Emerson, show producer today, and every day, building talented Sarah Excellent for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley is the news director. Thanks to Jim Roop, Lisa Goddard, and Emma Carthy. Scotty J is our PA. And, of course, the Rick Emerson Office East End is by Dave Zinn. Likas next. See y'all tomorrow at 11 a.m. Changing, and so forth, and Bastards and Grinding, and hey. All right, bye now.